Hey there, everybody. This is Tevo D'Arcy. You know, we understand many realms. There are many realms of leadership, many realms of the Holy Spirit, many realms of just trying to hear God and deciding, discerning what the world He wants and how to handle this life. And we've been around, you know, mega and micro, cosmopolitan, metroplex. We've been in rural, we've been in country, been urban and suburban for all my life. And it's been a gift, a treasure, and it's been like a treasure hunt. And we want to keep on going with the really good things. You know, you can move in the Holy Spirit. You can teach the Bible and know all sorts of wonderful, true things. But if you have false threads of doctrine, leadership doctrine, which are really producing fruits that are noticeable, such as control, occult, showbiz, all that type of things that are not authentic, organic, to the Bible, to the New Testament, even accusative law, which I would say in the Christian ministry sense would help us to remember by saying critical equals Levitical. If it's the law in the New Testament church, it will produce criticism, Phariseeism, be it major, minor, rules of law that everybody keeps tabs on everybody else to watch. Are they this, you know, are they minding the rules like we say? So there are a lot of things, including bias, bigotry, which reflects the law that detracts from the Holy Spirit, Book of Acts. And that's our main call, is the Holy Spirit without bias, with all races, not just a white Jesus. And it's, you know, not going to be simple, but it could be more pleasant if everyone does their own inner work and whatever God says. And mostly the Book of the Law was there in the Old Testament sense because there was no relationship. Only a few could have relationship, and those were the prophets that heard from the Lord in the day and the priests that represented them. But basically, most people since the fall, maybe Enoch was an exception, Adam's grandson in Genesis 5, who walked and talked with God daily, but most people did not hear from God. So God instituted the outer court, the rules that people had to please God. Now that was then. So today, many people who are biased, who are not Bible researchers, who don't really know, maybe they're very young, or maybe they're immature, have never been trained to discern the difference of teaching different things, such as Holy Spirit, Book of Acts, moving of the gifts, hearing from God without the legalism, which brings the word curse, the accusation, Phariseeism, and false rules of governing, false governing authority. All right. So the Lord has, you know, when I was growing up, my parents were white. They were educated, but they were from the Deep South, but not biased. So my parents were teachers, and he was a pastor from a seminary, graduated Southern Baptist Seminary in Kentucky. And her parents and his parents were both educated and Bible teachers as well. And maybe my mother's grandmother, I don't know, but it ran in the family. My aunt, different ones, were more prone to study the Bible. And they were, could be any kind of, like, they could be Baptist, Presbyterian. Nobody's a tongue talker, but they didn't really, that wasn't what they were first. They were Christian first and could move about if the Lord says to be a different brand. And that's how I was, I think. I'm not into the brand. I'm into the quality, the purity, the teaching, the training, what goes on, and if they really are in the Bible, and if they're smart and have God's call, black or white, doesn't matter to me. But I wasn't raised around bias, but I knew bias existed in the world, and then you run into it. Well, I didn't have any big time biased at first, and I was spared racism, abuse, control, because they were not under the law. But it wasn't until I grew up and went out, and the Lord told me when I was 24 to study the body of Christ during the Jesus people days after that. And he said, I want you to study it, and in the last days, you'll build understanding. I want you to study the doctrines they have. It'll be black, white, men and women, all kinds, tongue-talking or not. And then one day you'll build bridges of understanding, which is now, to know their pet peeves, their red flag buzzwords, as well as their dress, their music, and so forth, which I thought was really an interesting assignment and really fun. And it was mostly really good until we found that certain doctrines through television, through fame, through witchcraft, through the devil himself being displeased and plain old back under the old timey settled in carnal country law, carnal thinking, all, you know, that type of streaks that come through doctrinal other teaching. And I found the difference is you can go to a church, good church, and the ministry is any color, and they can have a doctrinal bathwater. And the bathwater means that you can see the hear the music, you can evaluate it from the people, how they act, you can evaluate from their racial bias or not, you can evaluate it from how the leadership treat people, respect them or not, you can respect them, you can understand the doctrine, are they really in the Bible, are they back under the law? What I'd never heard of before was the infusion of the mixture in the last 15, 20 years, really how many years, about 18, 20 years at least, of the growing effect of showbiz, of celebrity, in the followers of the famous. I don't hang out with the follower, the famous. I'm watching them. I liked them. But it was how you were, as a scent embed, a plant, not famous. It was just the disturbing fruit when encountered as mixture that wasn't even Holy Spirit, it was even gotten into a cult. And I've done that a lot. It's so strong that it deserves being ministered about. And the Lord had told me on my journey, the apostolic journey, because this is an apostle, that he said, if you see something that hurts people for going to fellowship or in a group ministry three times or more, or it hurts my good name as a safe place witness, that is my sign I'm letting you see what I lot more of, and that is my call for you to teach on it. That's why I teach like this. So we're concerned for our nation, really concerned more, and it's great consternation that I have to say it like this, because I wasn't raised around it. I wasn't raised to think all white, that, you know, all the white are the only ones that know anything or even better. I was not raised around this. And this is what you seem to find reflected as a repeat visitor in some of these groups, to have to endure that. So you can pull out of it. But right now I think, you know, aren't we supposed to all get ready for Jesus Christ soon coming? Don't we want to be on his approval list, his ministry approval list, that we're really true teachers of true doctrine for the majority? Now, you know this, nobody's 100% true doctrine. Only Jesus Christ, the Messiah, had 100% perfect doctrine. Even Paul told the believers about his doctrine. He says, follow me only if I follow Christ, which is good for all of us to train that way. Paul said he commended the Berean Jews for picking apart his teaching, his doctrines, to see if they really lined up with the Bible. I mean, if Paul does it, that's the authority I need to follow, and I do that. I try to say, I'm submitting Silas to the best of my ability, truth, but it's up to you to have the tennis ball of whatever I say tossed into your court to evaluate it. Not a dogma, not authoritarian, not controlling. The next part, Paul said, first he said, follow me only if I follow Christ. You have the liberty to study doctrines. And then he said, for each of us, a command to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, the working out our own salvation doesn't mean you're going to be saved by yourself. That means after you know Jesus, you've accepted him, and you're really officially born again. Then after that, it is up to you to mature slowly, carefully, not legalistically, but just investigate, grow, get training, get quality people speak into your life, and study on your own and pray to evaluate everything you see in ministry, your call, your heart. And then God can speak to you as well. So we're not trying to put down going to church. We're not putting down any ministry. We're not naming names and, you know, getting famous names on a social media to get monetized videos, which is quite the industry, sad to say. Instead, we're upfront confronting doctrines and that are legalistic, that are almost ritualistic in the fact that they're like cult-like in certain groups. But we're trying to make it more of a free place for people who have been around this, who understand this, to not get assaged and prayed against and called evil, vile names like witches, when they never speak to you now. This is part of the fruit we've uncovered, which is so, so very disturbing. And to warn these people that if you're going to proceed and, you know, to say you're Jesus Christ representative doing this, that is very false, even witchcraft, indeed bad, antichrist, then I would say be cautioned, because you're touching the body, you know, you're failing to discern the body of Christ correctly, which brings two curses from the Bible. You can Google those. You're also risking God's judgment. Back in the days prior to COVID, I had been to DFW, and the concerning misrepresentation of the character, nature of Jesus Christ amongst the Book of Acts groups was just very, as I used the word before, disconcerting. Disconcerting means it's the opposite of having a concert. If you know, I'm not researching that, but it seems similar. You can have a concert of harmony, all the instruments, different kinds and styles, different colors playing together, which would be more like Ephesians 4, the bride of Christ, the community, which is portrayed by Paul. That's our aim. Our goal is crossed by the unity, you know, everyone here in God, but collaborating. But if it's disconcerting, it's not a choir. It's a bunch of any kind of people playing any old thing at any time. It's dysfunction. It is just dysfunctional, clueless. It does not represent the heart of God, the core of Christ following. So let's say, what would cause dysfunction? Poor training, lack of emphasis on relationships, lack of emphasis on the fear of the Lord, on relationship with Jesus, first love. Also, following that, it would be Demas. It would be character assassination. It would be tale-bearing, false witness. It would be occult spying and calling people, you know, jumping people when they walk in to visit, which I had happen without saying. Nobody knew me. Nobody. I was there quietly. So I've had a lot of interesting things that the Lord showed me. A lot of this dysfunction has been causing the falling away of America, and also the hardening of the people in society against Jesus Christ, against the word born again, against people who are on, you know, say they're for Jesus and his values, the cause of the Bible and the prophetic. A lot of these things are big boss training, big boss. I don't know. Is it clueless? Law, accusing. I remember the last move of God, which is my shocking discovery, because I was sent to study primarily the charismatic tongue-talking movements, many of which were really valuable. But I'd never been around name-calling people from the pulpit, on your media, jumping people in public, calling people a witch, you know, all these evil, vile names just for showing up, without any kind of relationship. No, hi, how are you? Let me talk to you and find out if it's true. I didn't know this turf protecting was that bad, big and small. You know, what is turf protecting mean? Well, first, they're clueless. They don't know about harmony and revival. They don't really want that. They don't want Ephesians 4 community, which is similar to the bride of Christ prepared. It's similar to the word that is given in the Philadelphia Love Walk, brotherly, motherly Love Walk Church of Revelation, whose doors will never close. It's got a lot of issues, and it's mean. It really is. Why? Because you can go there, and if you're a stranger, you don't know if it's a big boss until they're opposing you for showing up as a typecast. That's what's, you know. So I would evaluate what we're saying is systems, religious spirits, money-making, big money-making, and mammoth-centric. Demas and Eli is the big one. It's really the big one. So you can see this tree outside. As I sit outside, I notice the tree is not really green. It's fading. It's fading. It's got its fall look. Even a lot of leaves have fallen off. I believe that is a sign unto this old move, the old big boss move. Now, we don't want anyone to go. We're just saying the fruit of that has got to be not dysfunctional. It's got to be tamed, controlled, and also humble and really in the Bible. that a person from another move that doesn't look like you, a maverick, can show up and you won't put them on the witch list. And you won't say, oh, they're out of order, in rebellion, or you won't be jumping them in public for saying hello, which is how bad it is, even in a mega church. I walked up in Dallas in 2010. I was grieving. Maybe I didn't look my sunny self, but I was grieving a loss. And I went over there to get in the worship and introduce myself after the service at a famous church. So I walked down there and I noticed they're more dressed down. I put on my blazer. I guess I look like a Baptist. These were charismatic. So I go down to say hello and introduce myself as a peer minister. And it lived 45 minutes away. So I thought, I'll go there and how can I make an appointment with one of the, let's have a prayer network. I'm a major prayer warrior for the, sake of many ministries, having a prayer protection network in case of the national stuff. This was in 2010. So I walked down the lone woman, Hannah on the front porch of this step. It wasn't until the last few years I ever thought of myself as having to say anything on behalf of women. I thought of myself as a human. I feel confident. I don't think women and men. I think people. I noticed the difference, but it didn't like a big deal. I'm not a legalist. So I went down there at the end of the church. And now when I look back in hindsight, now I see, man, it's all about when I was alone without a man beside me. Wow. And these were all Levitical patriarch and matriarch groups. God has a way of teaching in unusual ways. Little pieces of puzzle here and there. So anyway, I walked down and the famous prophet, apostle of the temple was not there. And his brother was there, who was younger. So here I am, I'm watching, I'm very alert and I'm on duty, but I needed to just make friends. I'm not looking for anything bad. So I go down to say hello. And this is where the man saw me as a type, a person, a fan, whatever it is they do. But he grabbed my wrist as I was about to announce myself officially, because I have been around in ministry many decades before that. But I wasn't famous. And that's okay. So I was about to say, I'm Pastor Tava. But he stopped me and he grabbed me by the wrist to control me. And he picked up my wrist, this white man, and put my white wrist in this female's hand who was right there. Turned out she was a matriarch, a barking authoritarian matriarch, which is how they are to serve the men in these groups, the underling. So this lady, this female, I was about then to try again to introduce myself and give my name. And all of a sudden she just openly in front of the church, this is in public, never laid eyes on me. She was also younger, I noted, because I'm very alert. I thought whoa. So I'd never been there before to my knowledge and I never introduced them. And so I was about to say my name again. And she said, you are not submitted to spiritual authority. You're out from under spiritual authority. I went, whoa, how did she know? They say they're a prophet. I have a board member. I had two board members left at the time. Now I don't really give a plum about that thing at this point. Now I'm open to people speaking in my life, always have, but you have to be really choosy now, really careful. All right, so we're open to that, but that was what greeted me. So I was about to say hello. My hand was in her, my arm was in her, my wrist was in her hand. She let it go and she openly rebuked me. An older woman, an elder, couldn't tell I was a prophet, couldn't tell I was a minister. Just another one of those white women that they always run into. It looked like it was the Metroplex. I guess they were fatigued, typecasting, geriatric, gender biased, whatever it is. It was not family. So she said, you're not under spiritual authority. And I was feeling bad because I was in grief. And I went, wow, she's really wrong. I said, no, I have a board. No, you don't. God has sent you here. And she pointed to the seats. He wants you to come the next several weeks to sit there and be under our authority. I went, whoa, I am maybe tired. I maybe feel not my usual self, but I am completely alive and on duty as a seer prophet. And I also am I'm not a matriarch, I'm a maven, but I know that this is the LP streak that one runs into. It is an unfortunate and biased and also demonic LP trait, Levitical patriarch, this is how they do it, not just there. So I've seen this type of thing in my life for 30 years, here and there. It has been very unpleasant, but it's also what God said. He had said, Tevo, if you see something that hurts people for showing up, or my good witness, that is what you need to train on. So I researched their doctrine. I also noticed, look, I'm older, that they don't respect anybody older. Did they confront me in privately as Matthew 18:15? If they had a bone to pick just for my looks or my size, I am like 5 inches taller. No, I didn't get any Matthew privately one-to-one confront. I didn't get any meet, Galatians 6:1, privately meet and correct them if they thought I was out of order for sitting there doing nothing but walking up to say hello in a polite fashion in James 3:17:4. So these are teaching big time purity and maturity, doctrinal and heart issues, maybe character issues. It is my opinion after this, because this was celebrity, my worst times of toxic behavior have been in the followers and staff, certain ones that are mean, just mean, that are devout, I guess, under these famous preachers. And my thought is, are these people, these seers, gone wild? Are they really trading off the top person that we are under them, and now we're more important, we can't even be loving or respectful? Are really in the false cult? Are we protecting the cult? It's not family, it's us against them. And I've thought that for years, even before Dallas in Florida and Virginia. I thought, I never, until Welp came in my radar, Western European Levitical patriarchism from the Deep South, even up from the Massachusetts witch trials traced down, New Wine Magazine, and also Levi, the dysfunctional misogynist Levi, the father of the tribe, then I had never had that, but I've developed skill. I had skill because, using prophetic favorite verses, the Bible teaches that discernment comes with reason of use. Well, I had never had any reason to learn this part till the last 30 years. And then I didn't know it, what it was. I had to be like a detective, Perry Mason, to try to figure out, what in the world do I, just for walking up, just for saying hi, what is this? What do they read me? What's in my DNA that upsets these people? And all of a sudden, God just said, Tevo, I'm here to let you see what I see. It is something, it taught me about myself. It taught me I have a different DNA. I represent a different DNA because I have a different muse. I teach the future church. I'm not from that move. There are many things that touched me in a great, nice way, but it wasn't till I realized that I trigger something, legalism, bias, demonic spirits, occult, could be occult, witchcraft, then I was just a nice, happy person, much happier before that. But God said, I have to know it. Now we understand, though, in the last 10 years and even the last few years, how much occult now is in America. And so if people are confused and wanting to go after real witchcraft in the world, even Christians now say they're witches. Even Christians are going after real witchcraft. Why? They've never seen the Holy Spirit. They've only had poor me. It's our turf, our fault. Everybody's offended when you're teaching them, you're modeling chaos and dysfunction. 2 Timothy 3:1-5, study that verse and teach against it. Chaos and dysfunction, that's what happened. I was not raised chaotic or dysfunction. I'm not a people pleaser. I'm respectful and a mature professional strength office. And I don't think turf protecting. I think unity. I think respect. I was in many years of decades in Virginia of crossbody unity. They didn't call it that, but it was repentance among pastors and leaders, invited as the head of my ministry to other leaders and pastors in the gates of the city, as it were, which before that movement came, listen, it's the gates of the city teaching groups that is probably my worst nightmare, that came in after this. So we're for urban, suburban, all colors, Let everyone lead, and whoever God wants to bring forth as a leader at this hour, go for it, Lord. Famous, non-famous, or whatever, but it's not my business to mind your business. My business is to say, what in the world is stopping America from prospering? Why is the church in decline? Why is there no fear of the Lord in Christian ministry? Why can't they discern if they say they're prophets? How come they have the evil eye and they can't chat? They have to read my mind and probe my most inner deep thirst from afar and accuse me and other people. It's dysfunction. All this is dysfunction. Physician, heal thyself. Prophet, know your seers. There's a lot of things, and a lot of it is plain old machinations and ministry to keep the money coming in. That is my thought. Why would there be prophets that are blind? Read Psalm 115. Psalm 115 says when the people, any people, prophets or not, when the people are following idols of silver and gold, their eyes will be blind like the idol itself. Their eyes will not see, their ears will not hear. Read the whole psalm. That is the secret. Why is there no fear of the Lord? Why are there such toxic society? Hey, I'm not knocking anybody who's not a Christian. Oh, you have more respect than these Christians like this. They're confused. They've never seen a real, honest, humble Christian. That wasn't just some kind of politician. You know, Jesus Christ was Middle Eastern. He wasn't blue-eyed blonde, wrapped in any flag. He was also out with the people, tribal, humble. He was lowly, but could rise up and toss over a few temple Pharisee money-making tables, just like this person, because he had zeal. Let's look at the Psalm 115 factor in the fear of the Lord in America. My Bible teaches me in Proverbs 9 and 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All right, that's a great principle for life, for a Christian, for a family, for a ministry, for a church, for the church, for a nation. All right, so then you look and say, well, what happens if there is no fear of the Lord? There's no humility, there's no reverential respect, no discernment in the ministers, the Christians. Then it's the opposite. The absence of the fear of the Lord is what? Foolishness, just like we got toxic dysfunction. When the fear of the Lord is there, there's safety amongst the Christians. There's no toxic. 2 Timothy 3:1-5, people are too valuable. If you can't get a picture of what a fellowship with the fear of the Lord and humility and having an organic sense, and I'm going to teach you to read Isaiah 56, especially verse 7. Now, we know that in the perspective of Isaiah, that is Old Testament, and back then the law was there for the Jews to fellowship only on Friday night to Saturday for their Sabbath. Well, that is great for the Jews, but right now we're not teaching that part of it. I'm not legalistic about what day you go, if you go or not. That was a gift. If you read Isaiah 56, it tells the blessing God commands for taking time out of your schedule to go worship him and keep a Sabbath. It's valuable. It talks about the kinds of people that they value, even the eunuch, the impotent person holding the door was valued equally with everybody else. All right. Then there was the stranger from another nation. They were valued and welcome and blessed for showing up to keep the Sabbath. So read that. But the part I'm trying to get to is to say, how can we reevaluate going to church, Hebrews 10:25, which is Paul's non-legalistic command. And let's say, how can we make it more humble and fear of the Lord back in Isaiah 56? It says, and a quote, I will take you to my holy mountain, says the Lord. I'll make you joyful in my house of prayer, says the Lord. Your burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted upon my altar, says the Lord. And my house and my houses will be a house of prayer for all people. Open, respecting, loving, cross-racial, humility and a fear of the Lord. Transformation happens, transformed. Not big eyes vying for turf, big egos blocking people because they don't like your female or black person or white person. All right. So we're going back to the roots, to redig the roots of the culture of Christianity, the culture of portraying Jesus, fellowshipping with the saints. And my special field, because I really do enjoy the book of Acts, and my findings were that I'm resisted, or I get typecast, or I get shunned, I get evil eye scanned, prayed against in the last 15, 20 years in celebrity type, in some of these, not all, not where I go now. They're not charismatic. The charismatics are the one. Then I'm going to address it, because I want to have ability for it to be fun to go to church now and be, you know, loving and not scary, not weird, not demonic for showing up in the Book of Acts groups. Because I love the music, I love the worship, and I love people. I really do. Plus, it's my field to have my own culture, crossbody unity from that. And I don't want these people that I know these that will be praying against me because they are so false in their doctrine and so accusing anti-relationship in ministry. Just for having a different opinion and a different movement. Paul, let me remind you, Paul was not wanted by the first 12 apostles handpicked by Jesus. It's just human nature. It's a big lesson. Paul came along afterwards. They had already been set in place, mentored, handpicked, and mentored by Jesus. Maybe they were proud. I'm not saying that about the first chief apostles, but listen, it's a principle. Paul comes in a little bit more rags, scaggly, because he had been a tightly wound, overly Pharisaical, Torah-keeping Jew, and God had to knock him off. He was an LP. He was the first LP of the Christian churches. I don't know if he was, but he was so primed to legalism and the law and the Torah. He was schooled, educated. So when God knocked him off his horse, he met the Lord. He was no longer an LP. He had been delivered, which is a big principle. However, he went over there in all eagerness to help co-labor with the first 12. And when he met with Barnabas and Peter for 2 weeks, it didn't go well. So they didn't want him. Something about his DNA representing another move. This is my principle. I really think that may be it. But anyway, so Paul said, I didn't need to check with the first apostles. He wasn't under them. This is a lesson. All right, it says, Paul said, I checked. I did not confer with flesh and blood, even though the first 12, all these legalists would just hasten to say, oh, yes, that means Paul had to be under them, get their permission, knuckle under them, because they were set in place by Christ himself. No, 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 no. You have got a lot more law in your learning than you do Jesus. You really do. So Paul went over to check with them, and they said, nope, you don't fit. And he said, okay. So he prayed, and God said, I'm sending you up to be with in Damascus, which is all Arabs. Here Paul had been immersed all his life and schooled among the Torah followers, the, you know, the Jews, and he was one. But now that he was delivered from his law, the prison house of critical accusation, legalism, now he had love, Jesus, and he was going to develop and nurture that and grow in it as God sent him purposely to be immersed in the Arabs, which are Gentiles, his future office call. Amazing. So for 13, 14 years, by himself primarily, a few Jews dared to go up once in a while, a few Christians straggled up maybe, up from the Church of Jerusalem, still new Christians. He was totally immersed in the nations of Africa and Asia and the Jews that would come along, but the Arab nations, the culture. It took that, I believe, to get rid of his old harboring of basic, brought up all his life in the culture of those, you know, they're not Jews, so they're less than me, or they're, you know, wicked, or, you know, like, the Jew and the Samaritan were not, you know, there were a lot of rules. Well, if you grow up in a background of bias, which he had in that, you know, in that perspective, that culture, then it would always come into his spirit, because the heart is still, you know, the heart is wicked, who can know it? Still carnal. So it is my opinion God took him out of it, stripped him of all that, immersed him completely in society of Arabs, so that he would know them as people, not as a racial it, not as a Gentile, I'm a Jew. No, no. He was now a different person because of the Lord. And that's how the law works. It's always in there, and God's got to work it out of us. So Paul went away. He got delivered more. He got it rubbed out of him. immersed in the Gentile culture to know them as persons, not things, not evil. But so he comes back to the church and he's allowed to co-labor. Well, Paul is still not under them, as many would like in Levitical patriarchism. Paul is technically not under them. He co-labors with them. Let me see why, which is our teaching this, what I'm doing for my a lot of people, maybe, and especially myself, to let you know my framework of call and our theology. So Paul comes back and he writes to the Church of Galatia. Now, Church of Galatia, he opens the title with his call. He opens the letter and it says Galatians 1, 1 and 2. I'm Apostle Paul, not sent out by any one person or any one group, I and the brothers and sisters that are with us. He says brothers, but you know if they're brothers, they're going to have relatives and family and wives and cousins, sisters and children. So technically we have Paul breaking down the law of right now of ministry. Paul says, I'm an apostle. He's not bragging. When he uses it, he uses lowercase I. I like to say that's how I think of it because I'm an apostle. He's a chief apostle with a lowercase I, meaning lowercase c, because it's a servant leader. Paul also, as I quickly hastened to bring forth, he was an apostle who is a nobody. He was an off-scouring dung apostle, which is the way I am. This is fine. We like it. But Paul was not bragging. He was not saying he was puffing himself up or elevating himself. He was not putting himself on a pedestal in his own mind. Okay. This is a huge fact. He was an apostle and this is an apostle here, but it's for the sake of the body to teach on it and to model it and to figure it out. Cause it takes a lot of theological, you know, and make sure you're doing it well. But I'm saying it's a sila. It's a seal, especially, and I noticed for the legalists, guess who God chose for this? A female, a woman, a white woman, not a Levitical patriarch. I'm not putting myself down. I'm saying I know how badly it triggers you. I know how badly it does. I can answer anything about, I mean, I'm not perfect, but I'm saying I've had to resort to studying every bit about males and females' authority, Jezebels, witches, false teaching, true teaching, for this real reason, and also to know this. And I believe an apostle needs to know where your authority is and where it ends. So does every Christian, every minister. So Paul said, I'm not sent out by anybody. Why? Why would Paul not be sent out? It sounds so brazen, so haughty, so anti the law that people are love to trade on these, you know, things. Oh, you're not under so-and-so. You're not under the famous bishop. You're not under the famous pastor. You're not under authority. No, no, no. Paul can tell you. Galatians 1, 1 and 2. So Paul said, I'm not sent out by any one group or any one ministry. I and the brothers that are with me. Now, Paul didn't, when he wasn't a lone warrior. He had people that spoke into his life, you know. He had people that knew him, but he was intentionally set so he could help all kinds of Christians and not be biased, not be locked into one. And that's really how the church should be. The church was always called to be just like that. Nobody had made it to all this big hierarchy, sectarianism. I mean, you know, cult tribes and denominations that came with people, turf owning and money came with that too. All right. So Paul says, I'm here as a servant leader, and he was an off-scouring, so he could move about. I've also thought, I wonder if Paul needed to be so free that he could say whatever God told him and not be bought, not be micromanaged or censored. That's how I take it, too. So that's a great teaching point. If you look at who Paul is writing to in the Church of Galatia, he has a lot of bones to pick with that leadership. Turns out they were back under the law. Maybe he writes Galatians 1 right at the very first of the book because he has to prove to them he was really a legitimate authority in Jesus' call, in God's call. Maybe because they were so back under witchcraft, he says. He said, oh, you Galatians, who bewitched you? You've gone back under the law, which is now, right now. They have been so immersed in their own schooling, cooking in their own Kool-Aid, nobody else's. their own personal pet tribal Kool-Aid, that they couldn't receive anything from any other kind of Christian. That is what goes on now. And that has been my nightmare of the people of the former move, who used to be the top of the cream, you know, the real new move. Now they've gone off into many things, and they're not diverse. I recall that the old move has a habit, even in revivals, of calling out the sinner, naming him from the pulpit. Oh, listen, I've left many a church, mega and micro, famous and not, for that. Calling out names. It goes back to me. It reminds me of the old-timey country preacher on some kind of way back in the hills. And they say, you harlot, from the pulpit. She's a harlot. He's a witch. Now they're saying she's an LGBT. I mean, you got to be so careful. You got to be better than this. You got to confront them. And you don't do it like that. You let God speak. You got to be, listen, I'm submitting a Selah. People are so angry about Christians doing this. They're so angry. They're so hard. And they're not moved by it. They're tired of it. And I understand why. So we've been out here with these people for your sake, to help you understand what the people are, you know, a lot of them. So I got so tough in Dallas because I was tired of being, I had never been around being called a witch. I'd never been around misogyny. I'd been never stereotyped. I'd never been around people so full of it. So many things with false teaching in the field of prophecy alone. No love. Steal. Power playing. No love, no fear of the Lord. And see, that's it. Big boss comes, fear of the Lord leads. Big boss is there, no fear of the Lord in his people or staff. They're really not reverential. They're about it. Their system, my system, people pleasing to keep them coming back. It is just a nightmare to go toward the big boss, which owns the Holy Spirit, which a lot of these own the book of Acts. And this is why I'm confronting. My book of Acts teaching is needed to balance it out. But let me say this. I can do this because I am a prophet. I'm called. I'm not naming your names. I'm not reviling you on my YouTubes and making money at a monetized video. I would talk to you personally, but hey, the occult spirit's so bad, he wouldn't let me near. That's all right. I don't really care. Paul learned by being a nonconformist. Paul learned. A lot of people can learn how I act toward them. They can learn good or bad from me. I can learn good and bad from you guys too. So if I never knew about misogyny in my own life in ministry until the last 15 years, let me learn from it and train against it. That's all I say. White witchcraft is a whole new ball game. That is a whole big deal to speak about and confront, because it is territorial. It's used for themselves. It is so popular now, and it's so anti-Christ. He could bring it all down. He could bring it all down. Just Google witchcraft in the Bible, divining in the Bible. See what he does in those things. My Bible tells me, because I'm not spooked by this at all, my Bible tells me that the bottom line of witchcraft is 1 Samuel 15:23. That rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and that stubbornness is the same thing as idolatry and iniquity. Well, who hasn't had that? But who's got it now, and why are you a ministry if you do it with full force to people? Are you a victim? Are you convicted? This is not a victim speak, but I'm just, as a person who knew that at one day, I knew that I would come forward for 40 years. I knew that when this is a national call, doesn't have to be anybody recognize it or not, not a big deal. But it gave me plenty of time to study the different parts of the body and ministry, to know what I don't feel is really right, what I do feel. But I also felt that I had to have the courage, the gumption enough to do it, because I'm really pretty much tame. I don't like doing this. But I think that when I saw Dallas, Fort Worth, toxicity, dysfunction, and Christian ministry that represents a lot of the Holy Ghost, no fear of the Lord, not all, but majority, how much, 90% don't have it. It was all I took with the TV and the politics and the society going haywire, I thought, well, if the church is chaotic, dysfunctional, and haywire and permissive, how dare I point a finger at anybody who's not a Christian? It isn't their fault. They've never seen a real of Holy Spirit, basically. Now I can go to different people that are quality people, and they're pretty much senior, who've been around from the 90s and 80s. But those people, I think a lot of these are like half asleep. They're all like, are they like goody goody two shoes? Oh yeah, let's go back and remember the old days when everybody was falling out under the power and the revival came in and the Holy Ghost moved. Yeah, well, that was then. There is a difference between being in La La Land and good memories, which is not me, and saying, what is going on? Let's take stock of it and let's get out there ourselves and teach it again better. And don't be playtime, charismatic, casta. You got to be under so and so who's over who stuff, or demonic occult, or just plain old anti-multicultural. It's got to be all cultures. So from this point of view, I respect all people. I may be making a big hissy fit. I am. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I'm really trying to stir them up. Trying to say, get off your prince and princess horses and ride again. Let's do. But it's for the sake of our nation, for the sake of the Lord, and for the sake of the Holy Ghost. I can't go in there and say, I want to get in the Holy Spirit. Let's say I go to a charismatic. I can't honestly say I would like to go hear from God in a charismatic meeting, Holy Ghost meeting, when I know that I will have good old boys and their helpers and their men and women withstanding me for my type. And I will stir up jealousy, but I will stir up evil eye witchcraft trying to pray me out and then never speak to me like I'm a human being. This is Big Boss time and time again. White. Big boss, it is, and you know what? It's not that I'm upset. I'm not offended. I'm enlightened. I've just been enlightened for the sake of what they do. It's a lot of things are. Is it for creature comfort? Is it 'cause we're used to it? It 'cause we've seen it all, know it all, got it all. You know, one person in, we've seen 1,000, five of them leave, God will send 50 more, all these big ones. No. That is what they're thinking, though. It sounds like that's what they believe. It is wrong. Listen, I can recall people who are not here with us. When I went to their church in Dallas, the famous revivalists who I remember calling out people by in public for their sin, you know, and also good things, a big boss. I remember going because I thought, you know, I would like to try this church out, see if I can affiliate and go there. So I went there, and the big boss wasn't there the first time, and it was a holy fear of the Lord, basically. Nice people. And I was there worshiping in the wonderful place and famous name. He wasn't there. And the leaders came over like first church and prophesied over me in the crowd, very respectful. And they were mostly white, but I was looking just for any place with the Holy Spirit at that time. So I'd spent a lot of time driving, you know, in heat, tolls, everything. So I was over there, and I was there by myself, but it didn't. I'm always with the guy. I never feel alone. I just felt like in hindsight now I see this. I didn't even see it back then because they didn't do it. These people were nice. So the leaders came over and they prophesied at the famous church, and they said, Tavo, God has sent you here to this area with a word for the leaders, the pastors. And I went, yes, you were right. This is probably 2008, early on. So then I went, I thought I was so encouraged. I went, thank the Lord. You know, they get me. I'm going to go back. And the next week I went back. Well, there was the big guy. There was the big guy. And I walked up to him, the white pastor. And I was out to say hello and introduce myself because I was expecting respect like I had before. As, you know, I woke up and he glares at me the old whelp stare, the old I've seen a demon, the old self-righteous deer in the headlights look. I went, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. It, you know, if I didn't have strong, healthy self-esteem from a great dad, Pastor Dad, it would really be horrible. So I can't imagine what people go out of there, you know, being treated with that demonic spirit. So anyway, I stirred it up. It manifested. Well, later I did try it, and that person mocked people that he called them name it and claim it from the pulpit. I was there laughing at how they, you know, named it and claimed it prosperity teaching, faith people. And see, I don't do that. That's a red flag, a giant red flag for me, because I know it's not right. So I watch this, and of course, after they do that once, I never go back. I can never go back. But I'm going to tell you why. The irony was, this person had gotten mean, and he was saying, mocking things of the fellow Christians, which he should have confronted them. But then when they took the offering afterwards, he started to teach on sowing and reaping. Ironically, he's taught on sowing and reaping, this person. I went, oh my gosh. So I'm going to tell you why not to mock fellow Christians on your media and on your pulpit. I've been in little ones. I've been in big ones. I quit going when that happens. Failing to discern the body of Christ correctly has two curses. One is early death, and the other is you're sick and you don't know why. This person was sick at the time. He later died. All right. But also, I'm telling you, because I was married, but I was like single in Christ. The person was not exactly really born again. And he said, go do the ministry. That's fine with me. But he was not, there's many things that went on, but he was concerned because of the TV ministries really started the decline. So he would go and he'd say, you know, you just go, I don't want to go. So he didn't go, but I call it single in Christ. You can love somebody, be married, have a family, but they're different. And so you need to go to, you know, to where you can, that's fine. But people don't know that. It's a principle. Many people are like that. You've got to really bone up on your single stuff, because it's a lot of your basic teaching of real people is gone now. It's all about money and celebrity. Who's over who? That's all this is now. That's why I'm not in it. So there he was teaching, and all I thought, man, to get a person that's a cynic, a real cynic, that you love to go to church and fellowship is a big deal. So once you get them there, they're already cynics before you met them, before they came, because they got a lot of things. Your mom did something, another Christian hurt their feelings, and, you know, it's like a baby. So you take them, and they sit there, you know, at least you get them to a church to go maybe hear Jesus. And then you hear the guy cutting down all the other Christians. Oh, yeah, they're name it and claim it. They're prosperity teachers, high and mighty. Well, that gives them another nail of their cynicism of one more reason not to go. Oh, yeah, I knew they're all like that. That's what people do now on these YouTubes. I also think of teenagers, impressionable, visitors, non-believers. You're doing this if you're cussing somebody out or talking as word cursing, reviling a fellow minister. You need to do that behind the scenes and talk to them or pray for them, or don't do it. Not in public. I've had a time where I could go on and on. I've had too many experiences where a famous Dallas radio station was the best anointed station I'd ever heard when I moved out there. However, they started to let people on there on the programs they had that would talk against other members, mostly Word of Faith. They love to pick on the prosperity teachers. So I was in the car several times and I heard them mocking him by name, each one. And then I had a pastor friend, a lady, who said, I have a program and I'm on between two of these that are doing it. Her program didn't, but they, you know, on both sides. So I wrote the people at the station, and I had a word, because I knew God didn't want them to close, because they're failing, you know, letting people do that on their airtime, permitting that. So I tried to get through. I wasn't known, and it didn't happen that I could ever get through, but I wrote a letter to the station manager best I could. Anyway, that wonderful, anointed, powerful DFW Christian station is now former from way long ago. It died. So God will do things. He is not happy. He is not happy with doing things like this. So that's just a few adventures, but let's work on our humility, not being ornery. Let's sort of bring it down to for the people's sake, your elders' sake, people that follow you, and the basic common folk, bring down the celebrity now. Let's have renown. Renown is in the Bible, but Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, do not say, I'm for Paul, I'm for prophet so-and-so, bishop so-and-so, Apollos, or say, I'm for Jesus. And that's the basic teaching of real Christians in ministry throughout the whole body of Christ, black and white. That's the call to do it that way, whether you're doing it or not, whether you like it, where you think it's going to work for you to keep your fans. You got to do it for who? The Lord. Ephesians 4 is similar. People aren't teaching walking it out in meekness and lowliness and long-suffering, endeavoring to keep the bond of peace together. No, it's about us against them, our four no more. It's religious spirit. That's all it is. It's a harlot spirit, if you want to talk like that. It's a harlot spirit, proselytizing. Oh, yeah, come to meet Jesus. Proselytizing, come to meet Jesus, get saved, come put money in our coffers, and then you treat them like trash, or you disrespect them, or you demean them, or use a cult to keep them coming back. What do you think this is? Playtime? What do you think this is? Is that ministry or what? Toxic dysfunction. That's what this is. So I'm not going to go after all these years. I am not going to go where I'm witch-watched. I'm not going to go where I'm having toxic dysfunction in the leaders. I am not going. I have pulled out because Paul tells me to. Paul has given two escape clauses from this. Yes, he says, and oh, listen, you got to get some good teaching. We want to have the teaching, the fruit of, not on a legalistic Saturday or Sabbath, but the basic fruit of Isaiah 56, verse 7, as 10:25, organic, Isaiah 61, the meekness of the ministry call, reinvestigated. But then we don't want to have it the 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, caliber of dysfunction and toxic, untrustworthy, no longer accountable, just people-pleasing, self-pleasing, and false off. You don't want to have the 1 Timothy 6, 5. All right, 1 Timothy 6, 5 says, if they're big talkers and skilled, but they measure you that you don't have money, get out. So to balance Hebrews 10:25, which is Paul, we have two other Paul commands which need to be taught, which are valuable. All right, from such turn away is a command, not go and suffer. So when I hear things, I've been around and I know that I'm a vessel, I'm a office, I'm a real person. I don't need to put myself under being violated, witch-watched, occult scan, manhandled. You know, when I talk like this, it's so far-fetched, but it's so true. I could tell you where everything was. But it's more and more like Elijah versus the prophets of Baal. It's gotten to be in the last 15 years. In 12 years, it's gotten so bad, so rabid, so often in the false religion groups of charismatic, that you can think, wow, no wonder people have gone away in droves. No wonder the people have fallen away. They're escaping for their lives. They've all read Paul. They got out. That's it. So we're in the last days, and this is futile teaching, because you know what? I believe these ministers will never listen to this. They will not settle for it. They'll find their way out, but they're really good at inventing scriptures that fit their need. They really are, a lot of these people. But that is your choice. God's going to move. God is moving right now. And we need to choose who we're going to serve and plan on how we're going to do it. And then what are we really here for? Those three things. I would say in the land that I've discovered, in the ministry land, Christian land, is basically the same as the world. It's a big, fat ambition, python, quenching and twisting, manipulating and choking God's true move. And it's a Leviathan, the Job 41 Leviathan spirit of pride, hunkered down in there, embedded and flatline in the ministry, flatline in the Book of Acts moves. It really is. It is. Now, if you want to keep going that way, America will decline. It will no longer, it's already declining, but if you want to keep fault finding and finger pointing and not doing your own inner work, making it like a family, that's your choice. But I'm not going to be, I've pulled out. I've really pulled out, and we're teaching freedom, crossbunny, unity. You got to hear who you're letting speak into your life, who you're sitting under, where you're going to go. And I'll be honest, almost every single famous preacher and preacherette are in it for something other than the Lord. Not all. Almost every single one, based on their followers and the attitude and whatever there is that goes on where you're now in their system and they're only thinking our team no more, to a point I see that. The other point is, where are the teachers, cross-body unity teachers? We need more of you. We need more of you to do this. We're not going to fuss at you for doing it the same way, not at all. But pick out the good stuff and preserve it. Pick out the dross, keep the hay, that's all. As Kenneth Hagin Sr. himself would say, in any teaching, including this one, including yours, including mine, including his, take out what, keep the hay and throw out the stubble. Keep the hay and throw out the stubble. You can do that with teaching on money, faith. You can do that for prophecy. You can do that for any kind of teaching, family and marriage. You can do it for all sorts of things, racism and the basic gospel preaching. Right now, where I've been seeing, where I'm, you know, when I'm not, when they're in the wrong kind for me, to me, it's a lot of gossip produced, envy and gossip in the wannabe rank and file. Where there's toxicity, there's gossip. The Friendly Fire Fellowship, I called it the, you know, God has a great sense of humor, so he'll give me funny things to say, which make me laugh, and I need to after all this. Gossip, the back whisperer. Bunch of back whisperers out there, really are. And they're low, you know, this is not high quality Christianity. It is not highest quality one should have under the name of representing and marketing yourself as a Hebrews 10:25 host. Not at all, not at all. There is a way to have a disagreement. There's a way to have all sorts of things without being an autocrat, without shouting down, dominating, which is what the world does, but so do the Christians. No wonder. If the Christians haven't set a convicting humility and a balance and are demeaning themselves using white occult witchcraft a lot, a whole lot, no wonder the world's gone to hell in a hand, you know, it could go to hell in a handbasket. God forbid. I still think the remnant's going to be okay, but I think we're going to have to be really careful. And I think we leaders really need to be careful how we're schooling our people. If you can't go to the grocery store and meet a cult member, and instead of saying hi like a Baptist or a black person, Christian, if you can't go to the grocery store and you run across one of these prophetic, charismatic cult followers, LPs, they won't smile. They will never smile. They'll scan you down to see if you got devils. They'll look for your dirt. And that, to me, is a big example of why I don't want to go. LP. No joy, no merriment, just like us against them. We know more. We know more. We own the turf of the seer, realm, the prophet. No, you don't. No, you don't. You know, God is good, and every man or woman is a liar. So therefore, we know that is not true. God is good. He smiled. He was Hebrews 1:9. He had the oil of joy and gladness above his fellows. There's a lot of portrayals and misunderstandings in the word prophet. And to be a true prophet in the New Testament days, you have to act like Jesus, who went about doing good. That's Hebrews 1:2. Jesus Christ in Hebrews 1:2, he was a prophet that represents the prophet today, New Testament. And then Acts 10:38 is how Jesus went about. Jesus went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. And the Lord was with him. The Lord endorsed his ministry. All right. Jesus went about. He was led and governed by the silent Holy Spirit. He was led about. He didn't hide in his cave. All right. He went about doing good, positive light. All right.
healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. Jesus did not oppress people. He was strong, but he didn't suppress, withstand, power block, power play, mind game with, use false authority, emotional abuse, emotional intrigue. He did not do that. That is the devil himself. That's a fruit of false authority, which Jesus Christ rebuked the Pharisees in Matthew 7:21-28. He said to them, he says, many of you will say, Lord, Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I do signs and wonders, Book of Acts things in your name? Notice how he teaches Book of Acts. He addresses specifically the mighty Book of Acts groups. Didn't I prophesy and do wonder-working things in your name, O Lord? And the Lord will say when it's too late, get out from me, depart, you who never knew me, you who work lawlessness. And if you look up lawlessness, it means iniquity. It also means Bible Strong's Concordance. It means false authority. And that's what we're seeing a lot of, a lot more of than I've ever seen in my life in the last 15 years. The last, what, 12 years, the last 8 years, I've never seen it so much. And I think that's why God is working on things. God is working on things. He's working on tribes and people. He's working on ministries. He's working on manipulation, so there is none. He's working to have a future church, which is his church, not my church, not your church, not their church. It's his church in whatever form and fashion he pleases. So God is good. Go about. Let us go about doing good. Let us discover about the Holy Ghost. Let's let people know he's our friend, not our enemy, that he's not mean. And let's go forth and pray about and praise God for signs and wonders. Signs and wonders. Okay. God is good, his mercy endures. I have an appointment, so I've got to go. This is Tevo DRC signing off from now for Tevo Creative Leadership. If you have a question, if you have an answer, if you want to talk or, you know, ask about theology, clear it up, Mr. Christian, Miss Christian, let me know. Write me at TevoLeaderUS@gmail.com. God bless.